Chapter 1. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you for the glorious gospel. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus. We thank you for the coming of the Lord. And Father, you had a plan already in place. You brought forth your plan in the fullness of time. You brought forth the Savior in the fullness of time. Well, why didn't you bring him earlier? You brought him forth at the right time. And Father, we thank you that we were born at the right time. You knew each one of us before we were born. And Father, you knew that whatever the circumstances were, that those circumstances were going to be for our blessing. So we give you glory and we give you thanks that we're here in this word and this message in the right time. We thank you that your goodness and your faithfulness were designed for us today. There's nothing that needed to be changed, nothing that needed to be done differently. Though we have made mistakes, you knew we would. Though we have not fulfilled all righteousness, you knew we wouldn't. But Father, we thank you that you loved us, and you love us to this day. And you have given us great, great blessing. And you have given us great faith. As a gift, not as a work, not something that we conjure up or produce, but it's a gift. And Father, we thank you that as we hear your voice and as we receive that gift, that you're bringing to pass in us all manner of righteousness, all manner of good work, as we praise you, as we adore you, as we lift up your name, as we come into your presence and come into the congregation of the saints to worship and glorify your name. Father, we thank you that we're being transformed daily and showing forth your glory. And Father, we're being used as vessels fit for your use in this world until the day that this gospel is preached to the entire world, to every creature, as you said. And then shall the end come. Jesus shall come with all of his heavenly host and bring to pass the goodness of God, and he shall take us with him, and we will forever be with the Lord. So we give you praise and glory and honor today. Thank you for opening to us this word, the gospel of Jesus, so that we may know your goodness and know your faithfulness. Our joy is full. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, this is the kind of story that we hear annually. But it's important for us to hear things annually. It's important for us to rehearse the things that we know. Amen? It's important to rehearse the things that... That's how your children learn. Your children learn because you keep repeating the same thing. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, Paul says, Peter says, I'm going to preach these things to you until I'm dead, even though you know them, so that when I'm dead, you'll have them in your remembrance. And this is our testimony. Our testimony is what God did. And so every day we wake up, and every day we have an opportunity to live the gospel and to live that gospel rejoicing and thanking him and praising him. That's the reason we're here. You're not here to have a job. You're not here to go to school. You're not here to get a degree. If you're in Christ, even though you'll do those things because he's going to lead you, and you'll be doing those things because he leads you, or whatever it is he's leading you to do every day, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might unto the Lord. But what we're doing is to demonstrate the goodness of God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And when people see you, they see you in the middle of trouble, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? The joy of the Lord is your strength. This is a story about, this first story in the book of Luke is about a prophet or a priest, Zacharias, and his wife Elizabeth. They have no children. And so we're going to begin to see what God began to do in them. You know, everybody's got a story, right? Everybody here has got a story. Everybody's got a here has, because you have a life. And everybody's here got a story. And a story about how God came to them. About how God ministered to them and showed himself to them. Whether it was through your mom or your grandma or your brother or your sister or somebody at work. Somebody somewhere came and ministered to you the love of Jesus and the gospel. And maybe you didn't get it quite right to start with. Amen? You know, maybe it came up short. Maybe some of the things like in the book of Acts, you know, we're having some group of people saying, well, we're thankful for Jesus. We believed in Jesus, but now we believe you have to keep the law and get circumcised too. And we got to put all that back in there. You know, a lot of time we get things and we don't get it all correct. But you know what? That's okay. Because that's not a deal breaker, is it? That's not it could slow you down in the natural. It could slow you down because you're not enjoying the fullness of the gospel. But that's okay because God is going to share with you. He's going to give you the goodness of His Word. Just keep seeking Him. Don't seek people. Keep seeking Him. Keep seeking the Word. Now, love people. Bless people. Enjoy the fellowship with them. We have some folks, you know, we meet with regularly, and they don't believe quite exactly doctrinally with respect to the law and the prophets the way we do. But we love them. You know why? Because they love Jesus. They love Jesus. They love the Savior. So we're not mad. So I'll recommend to you, don't be mad. Amen? I'll tell you, the devil will just love to keep you mad. You know, we're involved in politics. People get mad. Amen? People get mad. I'll recommend to you, don't get mad. Amen? Love your neighbor. Love your. Thank God you all have the opportunity to declare, you know, the Bible way of living. And you even got a political party that more or less kind of agrees with you. You know, thank God. But don't get mad when people disagree with you. Just love them. Amen? I mean, people just get so distraught. Do you ever get distraught? Don't. Don't get distraught. Don't get distressed. Just give thanks to God. Amen? Isn't that good news? Yeah. All right, let's close your Bible. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Luke says this in chapter 1, verse 1 of Luke, if you wondered where we were. For as much as many have taken in hand, this is Luke writing, many have taken in hand to set forth an order, a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Even as they delivered them to us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. So that's where these I don't want to call them stories, these testimonies came from. From eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all things from the very first. In other words, Luke was involved from the very beginning. To write to you in order, most excellent Theophilus, that you might know the certainty of those things wherein you have been instructed. So he's writing to one fellow in particular. Some folks say it was just like almost writing an editorial, like, you know, to the editor. And or to the people of God, dear friend of God. The word Theophilus, the name Theophilus means friend of God. And some folks believe it was like a letter to the general populace of the church. However, others look at the fact that he addressed him in an honorary fashion, saying most excellent, which typically is an indication that if somebody has a position of sorts, whether it's a magistrate or a judge or somebody of high rank in the local society. So here it appears that when he's talking to him as O excellent, most excellent Theophilus, it's an individual who he is writing to. And of course that same author Luke writes to Theophilus again in the book of Acts. So here he says, that you might know, verse 4, the certainty of those things wherein you have been instructed. So there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia. Now, Abia is a reference to one of the houses of the prophets, of one of the lines of the descendants of the prophets, in reference to Abijah. And Abijah, you can find the story in this particular case in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, and Abijah's listed in verse 10. And he was in the David, when they were getting ready for the temple, King David set aside the priesthood and set it up into 24 courses, 24 as a schedule of service, so that they would come twice, every priest who would come, they would come and serve twice a year and for a week. And so what they would do is Abijah happened to be in the eighth course. And so he would serve his 1 week into the year, and then he'd serve again later in the year. So we don't know which course this was, number one. So we don't know if it was spring, whether it was fall. You know, people, you know, say they know, but we don't know, at least not from this perspective, what that was. So Zechariah was of the course of Abia or Abijah. Bible trivia, actually. So it's not going to affect what you're doing today. But there were, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So they were both out of the tribe of of Levi, and they were both out of the tribe of the priesthood, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinance of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were now well stricken in years. It means they were old, Dave. Anybody think Dave is old? And they were both now well stricken. Did I read that? Well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office, while he was working before God in the order of his course, so he's down there at the in Jerusalem, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot or his job was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of the incense. So people were always at the temple, you know, because these were the times where the priests were inside the temple doing the work of the ministry and ministering to the Lord, and people would come and pray as the ministry was going on. It's like going to church. And the priest was there in the church doing his worship to the Lord, and the people were outside praying. And there appeared to him, so he's in the temple, he's there burning the incense, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. What have I done? When he saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. You're just not used to seeing God show up. Seeing it with your eyes. And so, of course, he'd been doing it for years. Yeah, he'd been doing it since he's 20 years old. He's well stricken in years. So that must mean he's 40. Praise the Lord. And so he's out there, and he's ministering to the Lord. And all of a sudden, this has never happened before. This guy is a professional minister, and this... the angel of the Lord has never shown up in the middle of his ministry. Oh, my goodness. What have I done? I mean, you know, if Sam Walton were to show up, that'd be a bigger miracle. But, you know, if the big Walmart guy, Chief Honcho, shows up and, you know, standing to the right side of Jeff's office, at the Walmart, I don't know what you would think. Would you think he was there to bless you?
Be concerned.
You'd be concerned. Praise the Lord. That's how I feel when Pastor Jim shows up at my house. Standing on the right side of the door. And he shows up at my house and, wow, why are you here? Oh, isn't that true? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know. Nick feels the same way. When the boss shows up, you know, he's like, "Hi, what's up?" That's how people feel when Norman shows up in their office, you know, at Omega. You know, why? Anyway, but just to give you the idea that this was an odd occurrence, that it's not something that normally happens. Usually, if you're doing your job right, the boss will leave you alone. But all of a sudden, here comes God's man. And right now, we'll just leave it at an angel, okay? We'll just leave it at an angel. Maybe, I mean, you know, I don't know if they have stripes on their robe or stripes on their wings. You know, I don't know how you tell the rank of an angel. I'm sure they've got some way to do it. So in Zechariah, verse 12, when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. The other word for that is anxiety. It says anxiety fell upon him. He started to sweat. He probably started to shudder. But the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zechariah." Whew. Well, I guess that's good news. Because the angel could have said, "Be afraid." But the angel said, "Fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Now just stop right there. Let's back up. Verse 7. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were now well stricken in years. And here comes this angel. Tells him, "Fear not." David may have something to say about this, you know, it's just because it's "fear not, you're fixing to have a baby." You know, so, oh my goodness. I'm sure when Dave heard that, there was a mixture of joy and trepidation. You know? And he says, "For your prayer is heard." The angel, first thing he says, "Fear not, Zechariah, your prayer is heard." He didn't know what prayer he was talking about. We'll find that out later. "And your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall..." I mean, this is a packed sentence. "Your fear not, your prayer is heard." Number one, fear not Zechariah, because he knows his name. How many know God knows your name? God knows your name. He's going to come down with your name, and he's going to talk to you. It says, "For your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." So he's saying right there that your prayer is heard. You prayed that you were going to have a son. Well, we just heard in verse 7 that they had no child, and Elizabeth was barren, and they were too old. So the angel of God comes with a message that totally destroys everything that you ever knew about living in this world, and changes everything. How about that? God can change everything, Dave. God can change everything. The way you were all set in your way of living, you were all set in the way of the thing that well, I guess we're just kind of old. We just live out our days and do what we've been doing. And then, you know, then we'll just go be with our mothers and fathers in heaven. Well, how many know that God can change your life? Hallelujah. I think Moses saw some kind of a bush while he was on the backside of the desert, 80 years old, 40 years past his prime. I mean, he left town on his prime. 40 years later, he's out in the backside of the desert, and all of a sudden there's bush over here burning, and he figures he better put it out or something. You know, go aside and see what this thing is. And all of a sudden, God starts speaking to him. I don't care who you are. God's never done. God's never done. Don't get too comfortable. Don't get too comfortable. God's not done. Amen? Amen. He's not done. You know, I mean, there's, you know, people like me, 60. You know, you figure, well, okay, we're kind of getting ready to coast. You know? You know? So, but you know, now you have to understand that God is not done, Gibson. God ain't done. There's way more going on. There's way more going on. And He's planned, Norman. He's got plans. And as I come into His presence and as I minister to the Lord, like this guy, just keep coming in. Just keep coming in. Just keep ministering to the Lord. Just keep loving and walking the way you know to walk, Walter. Just keep walking the way you need to walk. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Tony? Thank you, Jesus. Keep doing that. Nick, raising kids is not the end. Praise the Lord. It's just the beginning. Hallelujah. You're almost done with point one. And it's just the beginning of what God's doing. So let's get ready. Amen? Are you prepared? Are you prepared? And what you think at the end of who said no? Is it Dave? Dave is not prepared. It's happening. It's already here, brother. Ready or not, she's here. Oh, praise the Lord. But there's a promise attached. There's a promise here. And you shall have, everybody just enjoy this. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at His birth. I was talking about the baby John or the baby Gabriella. Is that right, Gabriella Victoria? I don't want to get it backwards. Yeah. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at His birth. You know, that could be a baby. Or that could be your next step. That could be your next step. You shall have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at Walter's birth. Amen. The birth of a new thing. It's a new thing. I mean, they were well stricken in years. They were already, you know, looking at, let's see, how much is our 401k looking like? You know, how much is our, what's the social, how do you apply for Medicare? They were looking at that. And all of a sudden, God changed everything. Amen? He changed everything, Paul. I hadn't heard God for you. It's okay. But Deborah? No. But God is doing a new thing. He's doing a mighty thing. Listen, are you prepared to just enjoy what the Lord is going to do tomorrow and the next day, next year, 2019, 2020? Amen?
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to worry about who president is. If God has you work for a campaign or a candidate, that's fine. But you don't have to worry about it. That's what I'm saying earlier, is that people get so uptight and so wound up about politics. Don't. Well, do whatever God tells you to do, and then just keep going. Just keep going for Jesus. Just keep going for God. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't think Zacharias and Elizabeth, number one, they had to raise the kid. They had to raise John for the next 30 years. I don't know whether they lived longer than that or not, but I know that during that time, they're raising that kiddo, is that, you know, God would use them because they had received a powerful miracle from the Lord and their testimony. And then you can read the testimonies of Elizabeth, and then the testimony of Zechariah after the birth of John, and having his testimony at that point. So just the glory of God is taking place in your life. Are you ready? Amen. We don't want to preach. Here's how you can live a better life in Christ. You don't need that. What you need to do is to know Him, to walk with Him, and allow Him to manifest Himself and do His work in you, and your life is changed. Your life is transformed. The goodness of God is working in your life. Amen? Kim Sherry, God is working in you. You don't know quite yet which exactly. You may, I don't know. But God is working in you. He's prepared you, and now He's setting you in place. Are you thanking Him and rejoicing, even though you don't see it all?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Praise the Lord. Thompson's, you know, sent Sadie on a mission trip, you know, a little mission trip, you know, to the other side of the world. And all of a sudden, you know, the next thing they hear is, well, I guess I'm going to be staying here for a while. I said, what? And she's 20 years old, you know. So you don't know what God's going to be doing with your kids. Amen? You don't know what God's going to be doing with your kids. Our kids have little girls with looks like something that's a problem, but they're rejoicing. They're working hard, but they're rejoicing and knowing that God is good. So Shiloh and Gabby have perfect parents. They're not depressed. They're excited. They know that God is doing wonderful things. Amen. Luke got put into a career that he never expected. God just met his need. Boom. Supernaturally. All kinds of supernatural, just, isn't that true? I mean, you know, there's no way. You, if somebody would have said that to you, you would have gone, you're crazy. There's no way this can happen. And here's what somebody's going to do. And somebody's going to help you in this way. And somebody's going to help you in this way. That's just crazy talk. That would never happen. Nobody would do what happened. You've had that testimony. Amen? I'm looking at Jeff, but I'm looking at all of you. You've had that testimony. God has done miraculous things. He's transformed all kinds of circumstances for you and through you. And He's doing mighty things for you. Amen? Charlene, that's true. It's just crazy stuff. Who would have believed it? Who would have believed it? Every day we need to get up and expect the mighty goodness of God. Even though this guy says, the guy was troubled and fear fell upon him as he walked in. Because you're expectant, but you're not expecting it today. Right? You're expecting it, but maybe not today. But it's okay. God knows in the fullness of time. He knows when He's going to bring it to pass. Amen? So he says, verse 15, for he shall be great, talking about the child, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, why did God wait to give Zacharias and Elizabeth a child? Why did He wait so long? Why couldn't He just have it when they were 20? Well, it has to do with God's timing, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Has to do with God's timing. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. I don't know what God's timing is, but I know His timing is correct. I know His timing is correct. I want you to just enjoy, relax, and know that God's timing is correct. And we get real worked up. But I mean, the Bible is all about God's timing. The word, every testimony in the Scripture is all about God's timing. Jesus specifically, in the fullness of time, Jesus was born of a virgin. Why didn't he birth Jesus when David was around? Why wasn't David Solomon instead of waiting another, you know, several hundred years? Because in the fullness of time, Jesus was born. In the fullness of time, He's working in you. So you just keep moving, and you just keep rejoicing, and you keep walking. You keep walking by faith. And he says, because you see what God had planned for this child in this time from these parents. You know, if anything had gone differently, none of you would be here as far as your parents having children. It would be some other child. But in the fullness of time, you were born. Clay. In the fullness of time. So your dad could be excited about what you were finding in the gospel. Hey man, you were sharing that the other night. You were the son that had that vision, that drive, that fear. Is that God was doing something. So that's why you're here. Before you were, I formed you in the womb, he said, I knew you. Before I formed you in the, you were no surprise. Jake, you were no surprise. Liam. Now, Eli, he's just a surprise. No. God knew. You know, if we, kids may be a surprise. I don't know. Was he a surprise? Was Liam a surprise? They're all surprises, aren't they, everybody? Come on, Mom. They're all surprises. But you were no surprise to God because he has a plan just for you. Amen. He does. Every one of my kids, God's got a plan. Amen. I have full confidence because he's God. Amen. And the same is true of yours. Same is true of your kids. God's got a plan. He loves them. And he's described here the ministry of John. You know, he great in the sight of the Lord, filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Many children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord God. He'll go before him, the Lord, in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the obedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And that only took 6 months. Sounds like a lifetime ministry, but he started, got that done in 6 months. All of a sudden, here comes Jesus. Now listen to verse 18. Here's what Zechariah said. So here's what that's all what the angel said. So that's all about what we just read, what the angel said. And now Zechariah said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? How do I know this is going to happen? Boy, he got free from fear all of a sudden, real fast, didn't he? He got a little impertinent. You know how old men get that way? Get kind of crotchety, you know? Whereby shall I know this? And he's going to tell the angel how things really are. But before we do that, I want to go back to verse 13, where he says, where the second thing he says after fear not, he says, for your prayer is heard. So, here's Zechariah now. He said, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well stricken in years. So what's he doing already? He's already accusing God of being late. There's no way this is going to happen. Yeah, he got over his fear real fast. He decided to get obnoxious. And he said, the angel said, your prayer is heard. And he just bypassed that. He said, well, if I did pray, he might as well have said, if I did pray, it's too late now. Where were you? Where were you when this was going to happen? Anybody here done that? Where were you, God? What happened to you when I was ready for this? Well, first of all, you weren't ready. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm an old man and my wife is well stricken in years. That's in verse 18. And the angel answering, now here's where we talk about rank in the angels. You know, he didn't know whether this guy was like a little UPS carrier, you know, or an Amazon contractor, the kind that throws the box on your front porch, you know. I mean, this is like Jeff Bezos showed up on your front door bringing you a package, you know. Anybody who know who that is? He's like the president of Amazon. So the angel answered after Zechariah's little tirade here. He says, and the angel answering said to him, I am Gabriel, by the way, that stands in the presence of God. And I'm sent to speak to you and to show you these glad tidings. Buddy, these are glad tidings. You're whining. You're complaining about what you didn't know or what didn't happen in the time frame that you thought about. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is a good story. I always say people read the Bible way too fast. You know, you read this story in about 5 minutes and close your Bible and go have Christmas. But you need to see what God's doing here. God made a preparation from the foundation of the world for this ministry, for this baby to show up to these two old people. And why didn't He show up when they were young? Because it wasn't the fullness of time. But God had a plan. He had a plan for them. He has a plan for you. Amen? Are you enjoying this?
Yeah.
You enjoying the plan of God? I don't mean the sermon. I mean, are you enjoying the plan of God? The plan of God is what's happening every single day. To enjoy every day waking up brand new. You know, every day is like a resurrection. You just wake up every day. Glory to God. Breathing again. Amen. Jesus is wonderful. Let's just enjoy being here because Jesus is in me. He's changed my life. He's full of love and compassion for me. All right, now. Okay, we're in Luke 1 and verse 19 there. So the angel said, I'm Gabriel, standing in the presence of God. I'm sent to speak to you and show you these glad tidings. And, of course, this is after Zechariah said, well, wait a minute. How do I know this is true? And here's how. Verse 20 says, and behold, you shall be dumb and not able to speak. Now, dumb means can't speak. It doesn't mean he's dumb. But he's not able to speak until the day that these things be performed. Because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Hide and watch. You keep your mouth shut and watch. How's that? Amen? Sometimes you just need to keep your mouth shut. And God was going to help him. Because he didn't want him messing this thing up any further. Amen? It'd be good for you to keep, sometimes it's just good for you to keep your mouth shut. Amen? Just lift your hands and glorify God. And if you're going to say something, you just don't say anything. Like your mother said, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. So God sends Gabriel, the chief guy, chief angel at his right hand, to come speak to Zechariah and give him these good words. And Zechariah is basically saying, "Now wait a minute." You know. So, and I know that's how you and I are. That's how we normally would be, you know, is that we hear a word from God and we know it's a word from God and we doubt. Our first inclination is to doubt. Our first inclination is to say every reason why that's not going to happen. Every reason why this couldn't happen to me or shouldn't. But no. I want to encourage you today, just agree. Now, you probably won't even do anything to make it happen. It's kind of like Abraham there, you know. He cut up all the pieces of the animals there for the sacrifice, and then here come the birds, and he's having to wave off all the birds, and he's already old and tired to begin with, and he just fell asleep. Well, God waited till he fell asleep. How many know he didn't fall asleep, and he should have stayed up. God kind of waited him out. Because God didn't want him to have anything to do with that process. Amen? God wants to do in you and complete in you that which He has planned. We always like to think it's going to be something that we're going to do for God. You know what? God will just work in and through you. Just when you show up, that's when He's just going to share the gospel. Just you happen to show up that day. And He's going to use you right there where you are. Amen? This is you. This is your ministry, is just show up full of the Holy Ghost. And let Him just do in you what He plans to do. Okay, verse 21. Look at the end of verse 20. You're going to be dumb until these things be performed, which because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So, by the time of babies, you can be back. Verse 21, and the people waited for Zechariah. These are the people outside who were praying because they knew he was in there and getting through with his daily work that week. It's interesting also that God waited for the particular week that Zacharias was going to be on the job to show up. He waited until he was going to be on the job that week, right there in the temple, so he could speak to him and appear to him that day. And I got news for you. He knew he was going to pipe up, and he knew he was going to have to get. He was going to have to make him dumb. He knew all that. It wasn't a surprise to God. And when he came out of the temple, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision of the temple, for he beckoned to them. He was waving his hands and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministry were accomplished, that the end of that week, he departed to his own house. And after those days, well, here's interesting. I mean, his wife was barren. And so as soon as his ministry was done, he went to his house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. She hid herself for 5 months. Things are weird happening. You kind of don't want people to know something's going on. You're not sure what. But all of a sudden, he goes home, and God immediately moves. But there must have been an act of faith in there somewhere, because this was no immaculate conception. Because God didn't say that. Amen. So he must have made an act of faith right there, just trusted God. Thus has the Lord dealt with me, and she said, thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And then we begin to see where the next few verses, we're not going to go into that today, is in the sixth month, Gabriel was sent to the city of Galilee, to a city named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, and you know the rest of that. Now, let's go over here to verse 39. We'll look at verse 38. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Now, what was the difference between what Zechariah said and what Mary said? However, she did say, how is this going to happen? Back a little earlier in the reading. It says, be it unto me according to your word. Verse 39, look at that, Luke 1, 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country, went down to Fredericksburg with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth had heard the salutation of Mary, she must have been in the back bedroom, the babe leaped in her womb. So John was excited because Jesus was already on the way. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And what is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. Interesting. This is the prophetic word that that Elizabeth had for Mary. I wonder if Zechariah was anywhere nearby. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now, Elizabeth didn't know anything about an angel visit the first time that Mary had showed up. But the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, the Lord told her. And blessed, there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Okay, now, let's look down here in verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass, and on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah. Well, it was a natural thing. They usually would name the son after the father. And his mother answered, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said to her, "That there is none of your kindred that is called by this name." They go, "How can you do that? There's nobody." Because it was typical to name a child after, you know, after a relative, or certainly grandfather, father, somebody. And they said, "There's nobody called by your name in your family." And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately. Because now he testified. What did he testify? What the angel said. He began to say the same thing that God said. What's the name of this baby? His name is John. Because that's what you're going to call him. And he agreed with God, and all of a sudden his mouth was opened. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. See, it wasn't about, you know, and it wasn't about a punishment for Zechariah. It was his testimony that's fixing to happen. Because everybody was blown away. He couldn't speak for the entire time that John was in the womb. But then when he declared his name, declared what God said, his mouth was opened. And the people praised God. And he praised God and the people. And fear came on all them that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. See, the testimony that came out of Zacharias was the fact that he could not speak. And then when he spoke, or when he indicated that here's what God has said, his mouth was opened, and the people saw the glory of God. I don't know if that's going to happen to you. But I know this, is God's got a plan. He's setting you up to be a voice for Him. Whether it's in writing or whether it's speaking, He's setting you up to be a voice. Amen. Praise the Lord. Teresa? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 66, and all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him, and his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be God, be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant to us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child," this is Zacharias talking to the child, "shall be called the prophet of the highest. For you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God." Through the tender mercy of our God. "Whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing to Israel. So Zechariah is known as also as a prophet, filled with the Holy Ghost, declaring the word of the Lord. over this child for whom he was dumb that entire period after the conception or before the conception. How powerful that God will use you when you don't expect it, when you may have given up on the idea. Amen? So don't give up on the idea. Understand that the living God, by His Spirit, lives on the inside of you. You are here for purpose. You're breathing. You're waking up every day to fulfill the will of God. Are you ready? Say yes.
Yes.
Amen. It's yes. Yes. I'm ready. Yes. God is doing mighty things. And He's ready. So, this was the beginning of the ministry of Jesus because John was introducing Jesus, wasn't he? So in the fullness of time, John was born to Zacharias and Elizabeth so that in the fullness of time, Jesus could be born of a virgin. So God is already set in place and Jesus is coming again, by the way. So He's setting you in place. You are here to testify of the mercy of God and the goodness of God. The joy on your face is a testimony to everyone. The joy on your face and the testimony of your lips is the power of God because you're declaring His gospel, the gospel of Jesus, that God loved you, sent His Son to die for you, and all you do is receive Him by faith. And He'll come in by His Holy Spirit. He'll come in and transform and change you. You don't have to change 10 things. You don't have to change one. Just agree with God that He loves you and He came to save you. Amen? He came to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and give you joy unspeakable and full of glory, not later, but right now. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Father, we just thank You today, introducing Jesus. And we thank You today, Lord God, that this is us, that You are preparing us for similar days. Not for a Savior to be born, but a Savior to be made known. Father, we thank You that Jesus is coming again, and we are part of that ministry. So we give You glory and we give You praise. And Father, we ask You now to deliver to us in the fullness of time that ministry which You have prepared us for. And Father, that we are expectant and every day filled with expectation and joy and worshiping You and giving You thanks and daily making You known by our joy and by our words. In Jesus' name, amen.